Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the past 2 weeks in our midweek services, we've thought about passages from Isaiah, and specifically, of course, from Isaiah 53, that describe this sharp contrast between what Jesus first looks like and first appeared to be and what he is when he's seen through the eyes of faith. He grew up like a tender shoot, struggling to survive in a hostile desert. That was week one. He had no outward glory or majesty to attract us to him, yet the arm of the Lord, the power of God reaching out to save us, was this man, Jesus. Appearances, I mean, they can be deceiving. Our verses for tonight, they talk about sickness and pain. And you know, it's pretty rare that you hear about somebody who is never sick for their entire life, who has never had any kind of illness at all. That kind of person is pretty remarkable. Most of us get sick, you know, once or twice a year. And if you aren't in good health, it might be more than that. Some people, it's a lot more than that. If you're afflicted with some kind of, you know, chronic illness or something like arthritis or Alzheimer's or diabetes. But regardless of how good or poor our health is, our lot in this world is to be susceptible to sickness and pain. That's probably no more in view than right now when we have all the coronavirus stuff going on. And it's in our national consciousness right now that we are very susceptible to sickness and to illness. People often ask, and they frankly often ask me, you know, why me? Why does God allow me to suffer? What have I done to deserve this? The Bible says that the reason there is sickness and suffering is pretty simple. It's because of sin. Sin in the world. You know, the reason we get stuff like cold and cancer and coronavirus is because Adam and Eve sinned. And they disobeyed God. And sickness and pain and death come into the world as a result of that sin. In fact, the first mention of pain in the entire Bible is in Genesis 3:16. It's right after the fall into sin, and God is talking to Eve, and he says, I will multiply your pain in childbearing. Now, some people assume that sickness and pain means that God is punishing you for something that you did. In fact, I hear that an awful lot. But let me be clear to everybody right now. God's word doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. In fact, Jesus is very clear. When people come to him and ask him why people got crushed under the Tower of Siloam, Jesus is very clear that that ain't how it works. It's not that you do something wrong and God punishes you with sickness. The fact is, we suffer because we are sinful human beings who are in a broken world that's just not the way it should be. We're in a fallen place that's racked with disease and death, and that's why we get sick. Our text for this evening, I mean, it has good news for us. Our text for tonight is Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, and it starts off like this. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Another way you can translate that last part is with his wounds we are healed. We see again this stark contrast in the description of Jesus, our suffering Savior. I mean, the speakers in the text, they at first get it wrong, and then they realize their mistake. See, when Jesus suffered, I mean, some people thought he was being punished by God for his own sin, for something he did. Listen to what they say. This is Matthew 27:43. This is what people say when they're walking by Jesus when he's on the cross. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he takes pleasure in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. See, these people who are walking by the cross, they thought Jesus had committed blasphemy by claiming to be the Son of God and that God was now punishing him for what he did, letting him suffer this excruciating pain. Man, this is the second sermon in a row that I've gotten a tickle in my throat. Sorry. But our texts correct that false impression and that misunderstanding. Because they go on to say this, we had considered him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. That's what they thought at first. But in sharp contrast to that mistake, actually, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. See, the nails that pierced Jesus' hands and feet were placed there because of our transgression. The sword that pierced his side and was thrust into him was put there by our sin. Christ had no sin of his own. He had no reason to suffer. But in love, God sends him. And in love, he takes all of our sickness and all of our pain. The good news is that Jesus' suffering has brought us the forgiveness of all of our sin. Jesus' punishment was for our wrongdoing, so that we can escape punishment and so that we can be declared innocent before God himself. He brings us peace and he brings us healing. We are at peace knowing that we are forgiven. When we're sick or when we suffer, we should never, ever wonder if God is punishing us. Because Jesus already took the punishment for all of our sin, for us and in our place. He grants us peace and he cures our ills. By his wounds, we are healed. Those are our words for tonight we're looking at. And really, there's a couple ways that people go really wrong with these words. See, some churches interpret this to mean that Jesus promises us immediate healing of all of our sickness. The idea being that God promises us a life that has no suffering in it, a life that's good as long as we believe enough. And some preachers will go far enough to say that if that doesn't happen, if you are not healed, then there's something wrong with your faith. You must not have enough. Or you must not have the right kind. One way or another, it's your fault. And some will even go as far as to question whether or not you're going to heaven. Let me be clear, because Scripture is clear. God does what God wants. He hears our prayers, he answers our prayers, but he answers them according to his will, not according to our own will. We may also be tempted to go wrong in another direction. If God doesn't answer my prayers the way I want, maybe there's not something wrong with me. Maybe there's something wrong with him. Maybe he's not listening. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's too busy with more important things to concern himself with my problems. Again, let me be clear, because Scripture is clear. God hears the prayers of his people. God cares for his individual children. That's you and me, more than we could possibly know. We talked about that this weekend, remember? God loves us more than we even love our own kids. And it's hard to imagine that. And you know how we know? By his wounds, we are healed. God sent his son to become human, to take on flesh and blood, to be physically afflicted on your behalf, for you. Jesus suffered and endured the suffering and pain that are common to all of humanity. He was pierced and he died for us on the cross, and then he rose again from the grave as a pledge to us of the resurrection of our bodies, the thing that we all wait for. You know what the resurrection of the body means? That's important for us tonight. You know what it means? It means this. It means that if you are a Christian, if you're a Christian, God's answer to your prayer for healing is always yes. God's answer, let me say that again. God's answer to your prayer for healing is always yes. Sometimes the answer yes comes in this life. Sometimes it happens miraculously. I was talking to another pastor just this week, and he was talking about how one of his members was miraculously given a clean bill of health. Often it's through medical professionals that this happens, that God heals us through vocation, through the structures that he puts in our society. But I'll tell you what, sometimes the answer is not yes in this life, but it's never no. the answer is never no. If it's not yes in this life, it's just not yet. The answer is yes in the next. You know why? Because you've been baptized into Christ's death and his resurrection. And one day, we too will be permanently healed from all sickness and all pain. One day, we too are going to rise in an incorruptible body that is going to be immune to all sickness and all suffering and all pain and mourning and death. Until the day of the resurrection arrives, we have this promise, this sure and certain word in the book of Isaiah that always points us back to Jesus. By his wounds, we are healed. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.